Yes, Nitza. The Executive Council of Australian Jewry co-CEO Peter Wertheim, he met with Poland's ambassador to Australia, Michal Kołodziejski, to express Jewish Australians' alarm at the new law. Mr. Wertheim said in his meeting that he suggested the Polish government rethinks the need for such a law. If it has to go ahead, it should allow for much wider exemptions. Now, the ambassador was very receptive, Mr. Wertheim said. He would convey Mr. Wertheim's views to his government. Aside from that, Mr. Wertheim raised concerns over the restitution of properties to Polish Jews and the recent upsurge in anti-Semitism in Poland. This follows a meeting between the Executive Council of Australian Jewry's President Anton Bloch with the Australian Institute of Polish Affairs. In a letter to Anton Bloch, this group described the new statute as ill-considered, ineffective and harmful to the pursuit of truth and detrimental to the reputation of Poland.
Shaina, just wanted to mention to you that the big interest of the Australian Jewish community and the concern over the new Shoah law with the Polish government is because there are so many Holocaust survivors in Australia. They say the numbers of Holocaust survivors in Australia is the biggest in the world after Israel. And therefore, there are so many Holocaust survivors here that are really concerned with the new Shoah laws that are that were introduced by the Polish government. Shane, we are going to move on. Malka Leifa, what is the latest in her case?
Yes, so it's been to court in Jerusalem again. Quite controversial to begin with. Of course, Malka Leifa is facing 74 charges of child sexual abuse. In court last week, she remains in detention in a psychiatric facility, which has been welcomed by many of her alleged victims, including Dussie Ehrlich. But it almost didn't happen that she remained in psychiatric detention, because in court there was a prominent rabbi called Yitzchak David Grossman. He testified in court that Leifa should be released from the psychiatric facility into house arrest because he claims it was too humiliating for her to be behind bars. The judge initially accepted this evidence from Rabbi Grossman. The judge ordered that Leifa be released to home detention. But then in court, her alleged victims and many community members at large were outraged, and prosecutors appealed against her release. Before the judge continued, Rabbi Grossman said in court, "I'm completely withdrawing my involvement in the case of Malka Leifa and my recommendation that she be placed house arrest." He said, "I'm very sensitive to the pain and plight of children and adults who are abused, as I see it every day in my work." So Dussie Ehrlich, one of the alleged victims, welcomed the statement. She said, "Rabbi Grossman's retraction is proof that together we can create a culture that is morally accountable."
And we are talking to Shane Dziatnik, senior journalist of the Australian Jewish News. Shane, the Executive Council of Australian Jewry conducted a very interesting survey, a poll, within the Jewish community. I think the findings are fascinating.
Yes, Nitza. So this poll was called the YouGov Galaxy Poll, conducted in February, and it's known to be a very reliable poll. It was commissioned by the Executive Council of Australian Jewry. It had 1,205 respondents polled, and out of them, only 13% favoured recognising a Palestinian state without a peace deal. Among Labor voters, the figure was just 14%, and 25% of Labor voters favoured recognition after the conclusion of a peace deal, and the remainder said it should only come after all Palestinian groups renounce violence. Now, the co-CEO of the Executive Council of Australian Jewry, Peter Wertheim, said it reflects the fact that the Israel-Palestinian conflict is not front of mind for most Australians and demonstrates a reluctance by many to express definitive views on issues which they recognise are complex. He added, "Those who simplistically advocate immediate and unconditional recognition of a Palestinian state are recklessly disregarding whether this would help in the conflict or make it worse." And finally, Australia, Israel and Jewish Affairs Council Executive Director Colin Rubinstein said, "The vociferous view pushing this agenda in the ALP out of touch with their base."
And we're talking to Shane Desiatnik, a senior journalist at Australian Jewish News. Shane, the Australian Jewish News is always very interesting. You find out lots of juicy stories from the community. One story that I was interested in was about Associate Professor Richard Haber. He spoke publicly for the first time about his experience as a child Holocaust survivor.
Yes, so this is Auburn Hospital's cardiologist, Associate Professor Richard Haber. So not only he was honoured, of course, of being a devoted doctor, but he also shared some amazing details of his childhood experience during the Holocaust. It's not something you hear every day from your doctor or cardiologist, you could say. But he said when he was only 10, he wanted to be a doctor when he worked at his uncle's general practice. Then he shed light on when he grew up. He said a day or two, he remembers having his appendix out, and his mother, this is in Europe during the war, sneaked him out of the hospital at night as she heard that everybody was going to be sent to their death the next day. He also said he remembers another occasion he escaped the Krakow ghetto, where Jews were deported to Nazi camps and mass killing centres, and the next morning, most of the children, he noticed, were killed and the adults transferred to a camp. So to survive, he had to move with his mother to many places illegally, from Slovakia to Hungary, and then he was driven to Auschwitz, where he stayed in a barn from which he escaped. He arrived in Australia with his parents, age 15, he got excellent results at North Sydney Boys High School. He studied medicine, which he always wanted to do since he was 10. And in 1963, he secured a job at Auburn Hospital as a physician. And later, he was head of the general practice in cardiology. He's honoured here for continuing to be a fantastic medical practitioner and cardiologist at this hospital, and also Prince Henry, Prince of Wales, and recently Westmead Hospital.
So congratulations to Professor Richard Haber. Shane, before I let you go, sports story, interesting one, about a young Jewish woman called Deborah Greenbaum.
Deborah Greenbaum, every time I speak to her, she's always doing something, or doing about four or five things at once, you could say. She's 20 years old. She studies at the University of Sydney. She trains an average of 30 hours per week in not one but two different forms of gymnastics, aerobic gymnastics and artistic gymnastics. In aerobic gymnastics, she's ranked number one in Australia, and in the other form, she's got a silver and bronze medal at the New South Wales at the National Championships. She's just been announced as in the Australian team for two major World Cup tournaments, one in Portugal and one in Japan in April. She's also got a crack at making the World Championships, which will be held in June. And on the side, she has leadership roles within Gymnastics New South Wales. She runs youth programs, and she founded a new project called LTC for Papua New Guinea, which collects and delivers hundreds of used gymnastics clothing and donates it to young gymnasts in Papua New Guinea. So for all of that work, last week she was named as one of only four finalists in the new 2018 New South Wales Young Achievers Awards in the worldwide sports category.
It's fantastic. I'm sure we'll hear about Deborah Greenbaum in the future. Shane Desiatnik, thank you so much and have a great week.